the most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Big news of the day, J.J. Watt, 33 years old, has announced he will retire at the end of the season. Two games left for the Arizona Cardinals. You might have seen their game in Sunday Night Football late on Christmas, where they appear to have the not good at all, yet 8-8 Tampa Bay Buccaneers down, I believe, 16-6. But they blew it. The Bucs won. You got to wonder where the Cardinals are going. I do think there's a strong case to be made that the Cardinals are the worst team in the NFL. I put up a poll on Christmas. Who is it? Is it the Bears? Is it the Broncos? Is it the Texans? Or is it the Cardinals? Most people voted for the Broncos. I think that was a lot of my Seattle followers, though, weighing in on that. The Texans came in second, I think like 29% or so. I would vote that the Cardinals are the worst team in the NFL right now, just given all of the headaches that you have, all of the extensions that they gave to Steve Keim, to Cliff Kingsbury, to Kyler Murray going into this year, Kyler Murray's general aloofness at best when it comes to his relationships with every single teammate that he has on the team, Kingsbury's coaching acumen as a whole. You have Steve Keim taking a leave of absence. You're not 100% sure what that's all about, but if you really want to speculate, I don't know. There have been some things that he has done in the past that do make you wonder, uh-oh, is he having some issues? There was another scandal that took place where one of their assistant coaches, I guess, was kicked off the team, and he's claiming that he shouldn't have been kicked off the team for allegedly groping somebody after a game. There's a lot of messiness going on with the Cardinals right now, to a point where I do think you could say that they are worse than the Houston Texans. But the Texans, of course, still are bad, and I don't think we should be changing our mind on Lovie Smith based off of the last couple of games. What I'm saying, though, and I said in the last segment, is that going forward, are you getting better moving on from Lovie Smith? Does the Texans head coaching gig get better by firing Lovie Smith and hiring somebody else? I don't think it will, because I don't think many people are going to want to come here. So what do you do to make this job more attractive, to do better? We do have some suggestions on what the Texans could do. Joan on Twitter, she suggested that you bring in D'Amico Ryans as head coach, and then you hire J.J. Watt as defensive coordinator. I mean, that would be fun. I, though, don't think that J.J. Watt, somebody who has made as much money as him, someone who has a newborn, is going to want to dive headfirst from retiring into being an assistant coach in the NFL. I just don't think that's for him. For other players, yes. I think that for Watt, there is a fatigue that he has hinted at multiple times over the course of his career with the game. I don't think that he's going to want to be someone that puts in the ridiculously long hours that you have to be a coach.
Nah, come on. Jonathan Joseph, DB's coach. Arian Foster, running back coach. Brian Cushing, strength and conditioning.
Which, Cushing's already...
slash team pharmacist.
There. Whoa, hang on. That's not cool, man. He might know the things that you should get now that he's had past.
He's made some mistakes, yeah.
Mistakes. You learn from your mistakes. That's what you do. Arian Foster, that would be funny. Foster wouldn't show up to work half the time, though. And Foster is, if you think J.J. Watt might be sick of football, Arian Foster is really sick.
I don't think you could pay him to, like, watch the Texans.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Jonathan Jones would actually be an intriguing coaching candidate for this team. But yeah, J.J. Watt is interim head coach. I don't see that happening either.
No, well, hold
honorary
on.
Honorary head coach?
You just stumbled it. He could be the Jeff Saturday of the Texans next year.
I don't know.
What better thing? Okay.
It would be a great way to welcome him back into the show, Sean, should they move on from Lovie Smith now and say, J.J. Watt retires as Texans head coach. And all he has to do is win one game. Can you win just one game for the
Jeff
JJ?
Saturday did. Jeff Saturday won one game.
Yeah, that's it. And he retires as the greatest coach in Texans history just by going 1-0.
This was an idea I had watching the Texans game of how high up on the all-time greatest Texans coach list is Lovie Smith already.
I would assume that he's better than Dom Capers by default.
Is he better than David Culley?
No. You can't say he is, even though I feel like he knows what is happening.
Culley only won 3 games, right?
Yes.
So if he beats the Colts, then he has just as many wins and less losses.
Look, Lovie Smith is annoying at press conferences because he's constantly positive, but what is he supposed to do? David Culley just doesn't seem like somebody who should be coaching an NFL team. Sorry to say it like that, but there were many moments where you're like, oh, we don't want this microphone in front of him. I'm sure he's a really nice guy. I'm hoping that he is enjoying whatever severance package the Texans gave him. I don't think he has it that bad. At the same time, there's no way in hell that even with the records stacked side by side that you could convince me that Culley is a better coach than Lovie Smith. But I also don't think that much of Lovie Smith as a coach. I did not think much of him before he was hired. Nothing against him, but it's been a while since we have seen productive, good results from Smith as a coach. With the Chicago Bears back in the 2000s, sometimes you just lose your fastball. Sometimes you're just not the same guy. But I am actually, at this point in time, right now, I'm not endorsing firing Lovie Smith because I think you have to make this job more of an attractive one. And that's not going to happen. You ever heard of the term Riz, Sean Mapes? You are the hip youth of the Paul Gallant show. I no longer am, despite my boyish looks and handsome everything.
I mean, okay.
I got a white beard, so you know.
Yeah,
white
but
in
you are
beard.
Wearing your hat backwards, which is very cool.
Thank you.
Hip. I'm ready for you to have a skateboard or something.
Well, yo, dude, I pulled off the sickest ollie earlier today, bro. I had a 1080 Japan Air on the half pipe when I was out there. I only know that from Tony Hawk Pro Skater. But anyway, Sean, do you know what the word Riz means?
I've seen it on social media.
It's been all over social media the last, I would say, 3 weeks in particular. It has become a thing.
And out of, like, through context, I can kind of see what it means, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me get you hip with the streets.
Peep some game.
It's all about the game, Sean. You actually were pretty warm. Riz. Slang. One's ability to seduce a potentially, usually female, love interest. Synonym. Game. Charm. How do we get the Texans the Riz back? What do you do? What does everyone say when you've experienced some sort of heartache? What have people been telling me over the last 10 days? What have they told me? Why so specific over that little timeline, Paul? It's a great question. For many reasons.
To be fair, I thought you were going to say 10 years.
No. Though they are doing that too. We're past the thing that we weren't over 10 years ago. Now we're just getting over the latest thing. How do you do it? What do you do? What does everyone always tell you to do? Well, they tell you, Sean, to work on yourself. How do you work on yourself? Is firing Lovie Smith working on yourself? I don't think so. You need to work on yourself. What is work on yourself? Well, maybe you need to find some sort of faith institution. Maybe you need to focus more on your job. Sean's laughing right now. I'm being serious here. We're trying to get the Texans their Riz back. I'm not projecting.
When you said faith institution, I just imagined Lovie Smith coming out with a yarmulke.
Yeah. Listen, for some people, it works, okay? Let's just think about it. How do you get your Riz back? You go to the gym. Huh? Have I been going to the gym to the point where I would like? No, I haven't. So now I'm going two times a day. I'm looking at people's workouts on Instagram and incorporating it into my routine. You know, like, you work on yourself. Firing Lovie Smith does not help you work on yourself. It does not help you get your riz back. And we need the Texans to do that. They have to work on themselves, okay? They need to take a break from dating, okay? You got to stop looking at the Tinder, at the Bumble, at the Hinge, at the League, at the Raya. How am I not on Raya and Jake Aspen is? I don't know. Am I jealous? Yes. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. You're Riz. You got to walk away and step to it and improving you every single day. Maybe it's as simple as getting up on time and not pressing the snooze button. And what you do after that is you make your bed. Huh? Like, positive steps in the right direction to get your riz back. Okay? So those are some thoughts. But the Texans need to work on themselves. And on a serious note, this is an unattractive coaching job. You are ugly. You need a makeover. Whether it's a soulful makeover or a physically on the exterior makeover. You ugly. That's how you get your riz back. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I wanted to punt my sister's home-cooked chicken out of the window on Christmas Day when I found out about this rumor. It could be coming to Houston. Very, very soon. What am I talking about? You'll find out next. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Galancho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Talking about an old Houston athlete, J.J. Watt, who announced he will retire at the end of the season. If you have any fond memories of J.J. Watt, please bring them to the table on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. There was another ex-Houston athlete that, I guess is thinking about some things. There is a report from ESPN.com, and I saw this because Sean Mapes on Twitter tagged me on this with the added quote, "Merry Christmas, Paul." The report came from Adrian Wojnarowski, and I'm trying to maintain composure and to be level-headed and to be a fair professional sports journalist. The report: James Harden seriously considering return to the Houston Rockets. Let's read a little bit of it, Paul. Calm down. Calm down. Deep breaths. Harden and his inner circle have been openly weighing Houston in recent months, sources said. A remarkable possibility, given that he requested and received a trade out of the franchise less than 2 years ago. Don't, Paul, don't pause. Continue to read. Don't talk about how bleeping ridiculous it is that he's thinking about this when he quit on the team after they gave him everything. Despite forcing his way out of the Rockets. Despite forcing his way out of the Rockets in January of 2021, Harden has maintained something of a magnetic pull to Houston. Drawn to the community, lifestyle, and family. Paul, don't say he's drawn to strip clubs. Don't say that it's pole cats. Men's club. Treasures.
after what would become relatively brief stops in Brooklyn and Philadelphia. A move back to a rebuilding Rockets franchise would effectively represent comfort and familiarity over an immediate championship pursuit. Sean, why did you tag me on that on Christmas? Why did you tag me with that?
Oh, because I know we're doing a show today. I just want to make sure that you're abreast of the situation. I don't know. You know, you're
abreast.
It's Christmas. Yeah, it's
like
Christmas.
Like James Harden at a club. Okay.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. He's drawn to the community, the lifestyle, and family here.
Listen, I also was drawn to the community and family here. I have a great group of friends. But let's be honest with Harden.
It's lifestyle. It should have just been lifestyle.
It is lifestyle and a different kind of community.
It should have been Harden has maintained something of a magnetic pull to Houston, drawn to the lifestyle, and lifestyle.
Drawn
there.
To the boobs, yes. And the butts. Listen, they're good. Someone who has lived in other cities, okay? And I'm not talking about even the strip clubs here. I'm just saying women in Houston are by far the most attractive, okay? At least in all the places I've lived. Boston, Seattle, not so much. But back to this story. I mean, like, why? Why is he putting this out there?
Do you think the Rockets should pursue James Harden in free agency? You just haven't, you know, given your take on it.
What do you think? Do I even need to answer this? Like,
maybe.
I'm trying to stop. I'm trying to sound like I am not petty. Like, I don't have a grudge against the guy. I'm trying to grow as a sports journalist.
What if he takes slightly less than the max? Then do you think?
That's a great if. If I won the lottery, you know, I'd do a lot too. And if James Harden doesn't take the max to at 34 years old, show up looking like, I don't know, a husky corgi wearing a jacket. Hey, great. Awesome. Wonderful. Splendid. Fantastic.
Do you start him next to Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., or does one of the three have to come off the bench? Read a little bit about the size, defense.
I mean,
although James Harden, great post defender.
Harden would come off the bench for me. I'm serious too. I would have him come off the bench.
Mary
That's my sixth
F.
man.
Kill those three.
No, he would if Harden's here, he would be my sixth man. Yeah, all right. He comes in and he goes up against the backups. And all right, he's like a tubby Jamal Crawford. Great. James Harden was asked about this report, and here's what he had to say.
I'm here. We're playing very, very well, and yeah, I don't know where that report came from, but. I'm excited to be
you.
Here, and we're playing well, and we're continuing to get better.
It came from you. Of course, you wanted that story to get out there. And the Sixers, by the way, have won 8 in a row. And Harden's like, well, let's float something out here about a possible return to Houston. Harden and his inner circle have been openly weighing Houston in recent months. Why does that come out on Christmas Day? Do you think that the good people of Houston are going to feel good and be a little bit more welcoming than they would be on any of the other 365 days of the year, perhaps to the point where they're not going to think to themselves, oh, yeah, he quit on this team. And by the way, there's lots of people who are willing to forget. And those people are embarrassments. Those people, I don't know why you are the way that you are. I saw a tweet from, you know, one of those NBA accounts, fan base, generally are absolutely the worst online. Like, online NBA fans, everything is positive, everything's rosy. Rockets have the worst record in basketball, but like, oh, wow, look at what they're doing. I saw this tweet from...
they have the third worst record in basketball.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Well, hey, progress.
And then imagine James Harden on this team.
So they would have like the eighth worst record in basketball?
Yeah, that's playing. Play-in tournament.
That you know what, Sean? Fair point. I would take the play-in tournament. I would. I saw this tweet from @biasedHouston. And I've been taking a look at some of his tweets. And it was a Photoshop of James Harden with I believe, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. I don't know if Jabari Smith Jr. made the cut. I think, what's his face? I'm going to keep on forgetting his name. The guy who's going to be the first overall draft pick.
Victor Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama.
I honestly did not know who. I thought you were going to say Sengun.
No. Alpi does not make the list, as he is called. I love how Vanessa, like, what do you think of Alpi? I'm like, oh, it's so cute. I'm not. That's not meant to be demeaning. I just think it's funny that Alperen Sengun is called Alpi.
Alpi is
makes me laugh every time
like,
I hear it.
It's like a Disney cartoon name.
It really,
like
it really is.
Here's their pet dog, Alpi.
Alpi. Aww. And it's like this 8 foot tall like, Turkish guy, a little different. Anyway, I saw that picture and everyone's like, yeah, let's make this happen. Let's make this happen. Why? Why do you want him back? What is wrong with you? The guy quit on you. And in all the biggest moments of his career, he choked. What fond memories do you have of him? Looking at the stat sheet? Because that's it. Like, that's really the only place I think you would find it. His stats, they were sick. Congratulations, fantasy basketball players. But what memory of James Harden is one that you think back on fondly? Just name me one. And it has to be in the playoffs. It can't be in the regular season. The regular season does not matter anymore. And the way that Harden plays in the regular season versus how he plays in the postseason is a perfect reminder as to why nothing that happens in the regular season in the NBA matters at all. Nothing matters. Harden can't play in the postseason because guys actually care defensively in the postseason. And refs stop falling for his BS in the postseason. And we're talking about an older, flabbier version of James Harden on this Rockets team. And I know people are going to say, Paul, you're body shaming. Yes, he's an NBA player. It is this disgrace that he is not in the shape that he should be. His prerogative, congratulations to still being a decent enough basketball player while going out and partying every single night. But, I mean, you want this guy back, you need to see something, some sort of sign that he has changed, that he's going to be a positive influence. He comes back here, he will get to do whatever he wants again, and the other players on the team are probably going to look around and be like, wait, what? Aren't we trying to build a culture? Aren't we all trying to hold each other accountable? And now we just bring back a guy who ran roughshod over the organization a couple of years ago. Now he's back again. This would be a terrible idea to bring him back. Terrible. I'm not even sure that the players on the Rockets currently respect him based off of the way that they were reacting after that win against the Philadelphia 76ers a couple of weeks ago where Harden played like absolute dog bleep. He was terrible in that game. And I get it, they've been winning games, but he was awful the last time you saw him. This would be terrible. That story came out, ruined my Christmas. It did. And Sean, you're partly to blame because you remind
what?
Me. You
hey,
tagged me on it.
You would have seen it with from Woj.
You know what? I might not have.
Or you would have turned on your TV. Hey, I want to watch some Christmas Day basketball. My Celtics are on. Let's go Celtics.
I did not. Oh. I don't watch any basketball. Christmas Day, the last sports I watched was the first half of Broncos Rams, and I was like, you know what? I'm done. I don't need any more sports today.
I was going to say, I hope you don't say, I didn't watch any of the NBA. I watched all three of the crappy NFL games that were on.
No, I didn't even watch the first game either. I only
that was
watched
the best one.
I know. I'm bummed out about it. I didn't have control over the television in that spot.
Mm.
This is one of the, I brought this up before. It's one of the tricky things. You can try to watch football when you're around family on the holidays or watch sports. And I always have a tough time finding a way to do it. And then I always feel too guilty to say like, oh, let's put this on in the background. Cause I don't want to be distracted and like miss out on like family moments. I'm serious on that front. It's always tricky this time of year, but Sean, there is a chance that I might not have seen it if you hadn't tagged me in that. There's a chance.
Well, then our show would have suffered.
Yeah, fair point.
You need to stay informed as a journalist.
We need Paul to be angry about James Harden.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a fun bit to just rub Paul's face in what a disgrace it would be for him to return. It's an embarrassing thought that anyone is entertaining it in the organization is embarrassing.
We don't know that they're entertaining it in the organization. It just says that James Harden is interested in the Rockets. They are entertaining it.
They have to be. They have to
Timothy
be.
Timothy Fertitta
Fertitta 100% would, because he thinks that Harden probably makes the team a little more relevant again. It doesn't. It doesn't. They actually are building something good. If you watched last night's game, they actually did something cool. I thought it was great to stagger Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. They played less together than they've played basically all season long to this point. I think in the first half, they played together for 11 shared minutes, and they averaged 30 minutes together a night. That is, I think, a great step. And Ty Washington came in off the bench, played a little point guard instead of Deshaun Nix. Like, there are actually good things developing with this team. It's going to be a while, but at the very least, you look at them and you're like, hey, they are going somewhere. Bringing Harden back is getting back with your ex for the sake of nostalgia. The sex might be great for like the first week, couple of weeks. You're going to remember all the things that either made you think this wasn't going to work out, or the person who may be broken off with you, they're going to remember what it was that you drove them crazy with. They're going to remember it. Like that. This is how this always works. When breakups happen, they happen for a reason. You should always remember that. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in too on the HRNP listener line. Coming up next, I really do not like this kind of football fan in Houston. And football media member as well. What am I talking about? You'll find out next.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
J.J. Watt retired, 33 years old. He will still play the last two games of the season for the Arizona Cardinals, but he has announced that. The biggest take that I have, and it's, I think, gotten a little stronger, the feeling in my mind with every single segment. It's a tragedy that the Houston Texans became such a poop show that J.J. asked for his outright release. We will probably see less and less of players in the NFL playing for one team the entirety of their career, unless they end up retiring early, like we're seeing with J.J. Watt. But J.J.'s doing that in Arizona. Think about it from this perspective. Usually, the reason that a player who is considered a franchise great moves on from the team that he spent his entire career with is because that team looks at him and doesn't see him as the player he used to be. They, the team, break up with the player. And J.J. Watt broke up with the Texans because he was so disgusted by what they had become. That is just a tragedy. And it's not like J.J. Watt didn't have his reasons for it. I mean, how much did the guy go through with that team? The many downs of the Bill O'Brien era, especially at the very end. His reason for asking for a release was merited. It wasn't like with James Harden, where the Rockets did everything they could, not for the betterment of the team, but for the appeasement of Harden. The Texans just did so many things to disgust Watt to the point of asking out of town. He broke up with you, and that is rare. That happens in the NFL, at least with successful organizations. That is the best player in your franchise's history. And he, like Andre Johnson, at least for a time, decided, I want to distance myself from the organization
that brought me into this league, where I was able to create a massive fan base for myself. And I know those fans will stay with me when I ask out or when I walk away. To an extent, they stayed with Andre. People did get mad about the fact that he signed with the Indianapolis Colts. I thought it was kind of ridiculous that they got mad at him. I think Andre had some pride issues when they told him, yeah, you're only going to get like 40 receptions or so this coming season. And then, by the way, O'Brien ended up being right on that decision. But then afterwards, too, with the Jack Easterby stuff where Andre Johnson walked away from the organization again, that made a lot of sense. And J.J. Watt walking away from this organization, that made a lot of sense, too. People are upset about the Texans winning on Saturday against the Tennessee Titans. And I want to specifically point to some thoughts from our friend Jake Asman of The Wheelhouse, which you can hear 3 to 7 weekdays here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Not this week, though.
Good point.
Starting in January, you can hear them 3 to 7.
January, not the first day of next week, but the day after.
Either the second or the third, I forgot.
Something like that. Okay. Some people are about that everyday life. Other people aren't. Whatever. Got three hosts. Not one of them could show up. Hey, Jake tweeted this. The Texans now can't afford to win any more games. They host the Jaguars, who they always beat, and Indy to wrap up the year. The number one pick, continued Jake, is far from a sure thing with two games to go. And the teams that the Texans are right now competing with for that first overall pick are as follows. And that tie that the Texans had over the course of the year does throw a wrench in things. The 2-12 and 1 Texans have the worst record in the NFL. But the 3-12 Chicago Bears are just half a game back on the Texans. There's no tie scenario because of that tie with the Bears, which is funny because the Bears beat the Texans this season. It's also a problem for the Texans with the Denver Broncos, who are 4-11, along with the Arizona Cardinals, also 4-11. The Indianapolis Colts at 4-10-1, I guess theoretically, could catch up with the Texans as well for that first overall pick. But Jake contends that even if it's the Bears, who clearly look set at quarterback with the way that Justin Fields played this season, get that first overall pick, they might decide to trade it to somebody else. The first thing I want to say is I am tired of the people that root for draft picks to unfold in a particular way. I just don't like people to constantly discuss how you must get the best possible draft picks come draft time. I suppose it's a smart strategy when a season is lost. I just think it's loser talk, and it's not surprising coming from somebody who's probably been focused on that a lot, given that he is a massive Jets fan. Like, this is how a loser mind festers itself into sports talk radio. When you're a fan of a team like that, you're like, well, we need to get the best draft pick we possibly can.
I was going to say, I think there might be some scar tissue from Thursday night football watching Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson play each other, and the Jets were literally like one meaningless win away from just having Trevor Lawrence and not Zach Wilson.
Right.
And so there might be, I think there's some emotional baggage that Jake is carrying into this conversation.
With Lawrence, the Jets are a playoff team. I don't know how good of a quarterback Lawrence is going to be, but he has definitely hit his stride over the last couple of weeks. And Zach Wilson looks like the worst quarterback in the NFL. So there's definitely some scar tissue there. But I just hate the people that get into this. Well, you need to have the best draft pick possible coming into the draft. You know what I actually hope happens? I hope that the Texans win another game, perhaps two games, down the stretch. One, because the only way that the Texans head coaching gig becomes more attractive is if the head coach gets a couple of years to work on the job. And two, I want this quarterback situation to be taken out of their hands entirely. I know a lot of people like Bryce Young, and I know that if the Texans don't get Bryce Young, that could potentially bite them in the keister. But there's a part of me that wants that decision just taken out of their hands entirely. Yes, I am depressed by the quarterback situation right now. And I also realize that this organization, if it wants to create any buzz, excitement for the organization going forward, they must get a quarterback that is exciting and that brings people back into the fold. At least some people. But if they get Bryce Young and he's on this team, what if he stinks? Or what if he gets hurt behind an offensive line that's not very good? He is small, and he does show a propensity to roll outside the pocket to make plays from time to time. He's probably going to have to do a lot of that, like Russell Wilson has done for the majority of his career until the point where we're at now, where he seemingly has no mobility. Is Young going to be able to do that? I kind of want this decision taken out of their hands. So the first part of me hit with this draft pick conversation and people getting mad about the victory, I hate the loser talk, but there's a part of me that thinks that going into next year with some of the same does eventually help you get a better head coach and does eventually help you get a better quarterback. And I know that, you know, that goes against what Chris Landry, who joined the show a couple of weeks ago, says. Like, you never know when you're going to have an opportunity to take a quarterback. You don't know what you're going to have next. But I think right now they are so backwards and bad that I'd like it taken out of their hands. And they control that. That is in their hands right now. I don't want them to have the first overall pick. I don't. I think it helps them out to not have that first overall pick. I really do.
I mean, we saw what Nick Casario, maybe this is unfair after only 15 games of their rookie year, but we saw he had the Texans and the Jets were both going to pick cornerbacks. Nick Casario had the first pick, and he picked not Sauce Gardner.
Yeah. See? I mean, he also didn't pick, I think you got to be a little fair with that, but Kayvon Thibodeau had a really big game in Monday Night Football. He statistically has not had a great season, but he was awesome against Washington a couple of weeks ago in Monday Night Football. And we all saw that, and we're like, oh, they could have had him too. And that's maybe a position that makes a little bit more sense. I like that they drafted Derek Stingley at the time. I thought he was the right pick, but you know, it is a crapshoot, even if you do know what you're talking about, Sean.
Also, the Chargers, I think, also drafted a guard after Kenyon Green, and they just clinched a playoff spot, and their offensive line's pretty good, even though like half their offensive line has got hurt.
So look, I understand the logic, and there is some logic behind when the season is done, making sure that you have the best draft capital you possibly can have. And that winning could potentially mean you're stuck with Lovie Smith going forward. But they, again, need to work on themselves. Bryce Young is not going to help the Texans work on themselves. It's not. They're going to force something, and they're probably going to screw it up because that's all they do of late. They will force in a head coach. Maybe it's Cliff Kingsbury, or maybe it's Nathaniel Hackett, or some other exciting mind. They'd force this offensive mind into the head coaching gig, and you're starting over with the new staff, and you're probably not getting the best coaching candidate on the market. Hell, I would say even if you just move on from Lovie Smith, say you had like the second overall pick, who the hell's going to want to come here with that? You know, like there's a lot of things right now, and this is, I think, the most frustrating part. I love talking about football. I love watching the NFL, even when it's cold outside and no one can hit a field goal and there's ugly games left and right. It's my favorite sport. It's my favorite league. And I would like relevance to return to this city on that front. It seems like it's so far away. But I think this team is going to be better served by missing out on that first overall pick. And I'm starting to think as well, until they're able to make that coaching gig look like it's the best possible candidate, best possible gig for any potential coaching candidate, like it was back in 2014 when they were able to hire Bill O'Brien, who was a success as a head coach, until they can get back to that point, I just think that you're going to be stuck with another David Culley or Lovie Smith next season. You move on from Lovie Smith. You're going to end up with another version of him. Like, that's not getting you towards being better. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We wrap up with Garbage Time next.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Text comment points out that, hey, Paul, the Astros were built with the idea that you stink and you get draft picks. True, baseball's draft is a bit more of a crapshoot when it comes, though, to those early picks, and it did work out with Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman, but what about Mark Appel? What about Breedy Aiken? That's not the only reason that the Astros turned themselves around. They nailed some draft picks, but they dominated when it came to scouting of Latin America. They've been fantastic on that front. So it's different. Having that first overall pick does not guarantee you anything. And I think some people look at it as if it does and forget about the entire history of the league and the many first-round quarterbacks that can't even end up being Andy Dalton, let alone a franchise game-changer who will be the cornerstone of your team for the next decade. And then sometimes you think you have it in a Jared Goff or a Carson Wentz because of early returns, and then next thing you know, they're all of a sudden playing for other teams too. Let's wrap things up with some garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This story comes from France. Great first line of the New York Post article. The case left doctors shell-shocked. A French hospital was partially evacuated Saturday after a senior citizen arrived with a World War I artillery shell lodged in his butt. The 88-year-old patient visited Hospital Saint-Musée in Toulon to have the antique explosive removed, and it sparked a bomb scare, which led to an evacuation for 2.5 hours of said hospital. It's a pretty big shell, gotta say.
And it was in this old man's rectum.
8 inches long, 2 inches wide. It's believed he inserted it for sexual pleasure, per doctors.
Oh, not any other kind of pleasure?
No.
Okay.
And it wasn't like they found a piece of shrapnel. They found a, again, World War I shell in an 88-year-old man. And I'm wondering, given that this 8-inch long, 2-inch wide shell came to mind for this 88-year-old man to use, I am curious as to how many times this shell has been used.
Without incident? Also, no way that thing's still potent, right? Not the old man, the
bomb.
That's
a good question. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I would assume, yes, it is still potent. All it would take is one match, and boom. So, the French, guys, they're just built different when it comes to exploring themselves. Big thanks to everybody who tuned into today's show. Twitch.tv/ESPN975, our texters, our callers, and of course, Sean Mapes behind the glass. We will be back at it tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Until then, so long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday.
This is Heisman's Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.